This morning, I've just heard that a dear friend of mine has been consorting with undesirables. It's not a nice feeling, is it? But at any rate, I suppose, the Bible reading is the Bible reading, and here we go. I'm looking at Luke 15, 1 to 3, and 11b to 32. I think it has something to do with my problem at the moment. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And my problem. Then Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger man got together all he had, set off for a distant country, probably the world, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.'" So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to his father, "I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robes and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, "What was going on?" "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. And when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." I was glad when I looked at the roster and saw that the Bible reading was going to be by Norm. I thought he would do it well. Some folk just love a celebration. It doesn't matter much what it is, so long as they can be in it. The mateship, the drinking, the partying, St. Patrick's Day, Anzac Day, you name it, they'll be there. Embarrassingly, some reach a stage where the reason for the celebration doesn't seem to matter much at all. It seems to have been lost altogether. Others are much more considered and thoughtful about celebrations. For them, it's not just the partying. The significant recital of the event in some way is important. Have you been celebrating lately? What was important for you, the occasion or the party? Or was it equally both? Today's Bible reading is about a party, a homecoming party hosted by God. So, who's on the guest list? Well, God is the host, so he's definitely there. So too, we are told, are all the angels. This much we gather from the first two parables in this chapter about the lost sheep and the lost coin. In a sense, that's the party in heaven over one sinner who repents. But it is paralleled by an earthly party too. The celebration of God's earthly family whenever a sinner returns home. Every member of the family is meant to be there. Those who have stayed close and those who have wandered far away. Notice the opening words of this chapter. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. And there are the first two parables I mentioned, but we read on. Those opening words are significant for all of the three parables that follow, but especially for the story of the lost son, what we usually call the parable of the prodigal son. The party is meant to include the whole family, the tax collectors and sinners, but also the Pharisees and teachers of the law. They should be there too. In Psalm 23, David wrote, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." Now it's interesting, the Good News Bible renders these words, "You welcome me as an honored guest and fill my cup to the brim." Now we can understand those words in reference to David, described as a man after God's own heart. He did the right thing all the time. Well, most of the time. There was that matter of Uriah the Hittite, and it was never forgotten in the record of his life. You may have noticed that as you read later in the scriptures, it talks about David and speaks very highly of him, who did not sin except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. And you might remember whose death he arranged so that he could cover up his affair that he had started with Bathsheba. No doubt the Pharisees and the teachers of the law believed themselves always worthy to be honoured guests. If there was to be some sort of celebration, surely it should be for them because of their uprightness, their faithful good deeds, their obedience to the law. Except the way Norm has put it this morning, I don't think they would have liked to be at a celebration that had these other no-hopers there. But if it was for them, they had a problem with Jesus because he spent too much time with tax collectors and other obvious sinners. Yes, he cared for them, even seemed to love them. But worse than that, he appeared to be suggesting that these no good people should be guests of honour in a heavenly party, and that they, the righteous ones, should willingly endorse such a celebration too. Then why a party for such people? After all, for years, by their attitudes and actions, they've been ruling themselves out of both earthly and heavenly parties. Let's hear what Jesus said on another occasion. I tell you the truth. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. You see, the party is because these no good people are repenting of their sin and believing in Jesus. Now, when Jesus speaks of 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent, is he suggesting that the Pharisees and teachers of the law don't need to repent? You ever thought about that? No. Though at this point he doesn't challenge their faulty understanding of themselves. If they are fully and worthily part of God's family, as they claim, then they should be part of the celebration. Glad that these sinners have repented. The fact that they exclude themselves from the party reveals them for who they are. They too are sinners, as much as the tax collectors and prostitutes. They too need to repent, so they can be welcomed into the great celebration. Now, in actual fact, there is only one person who has ever lived on earth who never needed to repent, because he was completely without any sin. That is Jesus himself. Now notice the attitude of the elder brother as he comes into the picture. Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you killed the fattened calf for him. His place in the family seems to have nothing to do with the father's generous love. Oddly, he sees himself at the level of one of his father's hired servants, an obedient slave, rather than a son. The one who has returned is this son of yours. He doesn't call him my brother. No, we don't have to wander far away to know the Father's love and forgiving grace.
But it is the Father's love and grace alone that guarantees any of us a place in the family. Now, Jesus deliberately leaves the story unfinished. The Father's love and grace are still open for the elder brother. He can know love rather than slavery, servitude, and subjection. He can rightfully be part of the celebration too. 19 years ago, I counted up, I went on a trip to the land of Israel. In all that was fitted into that trip, I was sorry that we were unable to visit a messianic synagogue. For, yes, there are Jews who believe in Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God. The issue for all of us is how we respond to the Father's love and forgiving grace. If we have wandered far away, broken all the rules, squandered all the opportunities, turned our back on God, we need to understand that the Father is still waiting, wanting to forgive, wanting to welcome. I just pause there if that is something that you need to be thinking about. God's love for you, God sees where you are. Being with Him, with God, is home for everyone, no matter who they are or what they have done. Today is the day to take a good look at yourself, to tell God how sorry you are, not how disappointed you are in how everyone else has treated you. Come now. The Father is waiting. His Son Jesus died on the cross to take all the penalty for all the wrong you've ever done. The Father is waiting for you to come. The party is ready for you. If we have stayed close, always tried to do our best, read the Bible and prayed, gone to church, we still need to understand that we can only come to the Father on the basis of His love and grace. We too need to know His forgiveness and welcome. We too need to come home. We need to recognize that it is the Father's home and to join in the celebration over every returning child of God. You'd like a celebration? Then come home. The Father is waiting for you. Amen. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before your face. I am no more worthy to be called your child. Make me to be one of your hired servants, Lord. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before your face. I am no more worthy to be called your child. Make me to face one of your hired servants. Lowly in your heart.
Ring the doorbell, ring. Let's celebrate, kill the fattened calf. Let's celebrate. My child was dead, but now is alive. My child was lost, but now is found. Bring the robe and ring. Let's celebrate, kill the fattened calf. Let's celebrate. My child was dead, but now is alive. My child was lost, but now is found.
Quite often in some of our books about the Christian faith, we'll read a set of steps for coming to Jesus. And this is another one which I found a very great comfort when I was awake in the middle of the night and not sleeping that well. And this writer says, if you want Jesus to come into your life, you can pray this prayer carefully from your heart. You could also pray this prayer if you're not sure if you have Jesus in your life. And it can be a rededication of your life to him. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. You died on the cross bearing the guilt and the penalty of my sin. And God raised you from the dead. Jesus, I have sinned by my thoughts and words and actions. I have cut myself off from God, not somebody else over there. And my best efforts will not save me. Jesus, I am sorry for my sins and I repent. Jesus, I give my life back to you. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life as my Saviour to cleanse me, as my Lord to control me, as my friend to be with me. Jesus, I will be obedient to you. Jesus, you never said it would be easy to follow you, but I want to bring every part of my life, work, friendships, money, time, under your control. Jesus, I can now thank you that you have come into my life and I am born again.